can cry out to God to be saved and ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Prior to Jesus' ministry, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. After He fasted and prayed 40 days and nights, Jesus left His temptation filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter said that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to those He spoke to, their children, and all who were far off. This means that you too can cry out to God to be saved and ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Cry out to Him today.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
In 1996, Hillary Clinton wrote a book entitled It Takes a Village, and we've been asking the question, does it really take a village to raise a child? And 2 weeks ago, we actually started and we said, well, the way that we are going to determine truth is based on God's Word, because God's Word is truth. And Jesus said, if we abide in His Word, we will know the truth, and that truth will set us free. And we need to be set free from sin, but also free from ignorance. If we're not reading God's Word and we don't know what God, the way God wants us to do things, then we may very well do things our own way. In fact, a lot of times, even when we read the Bible, we do things our own way, and you can try to do things your own way, but let's see how that works out for you. It's best to do things God's way, and there are blessings when we do things God's way. One of the things we talked about last week, we actually went and we looked at the created order. You see, when God created the heavens and the earth, He didn't first create a village. He didn't first create the government. He didn't first create the Red Cross or 211 or 411. He didn't first create a social agency. He first created a family, a marriage, and then a family to raise children. And so we're going to look today at the blessings that come when we follow God's plan. And we're going to look at what a family provides, because a family provides much for the children, but also for other members of the family as well. And so the first thing we're going to look at is that a family provides care and nurture for children. And, you know, I've always, when I think about this, you know, you think, well, you know, God could have created for children to come about through any way. He could have created for children to just pop out of rocks or to come out of flowers. He could have actually had storks that deliver children. Children could have just been left to fend for themselves, like happens to some animals, where in fact even in some animals, sometimes even the father or the mother will actually eat some of the children. But God has designed for children to be raised in families, and those families provide nurture and care for the children. We learned very quickly when we had our first daughter that these children, they don't come out with a manual. You know, you don't have like an instruction manual that comes with them that says, okay, what happens when they cry? You have to figure that out. And some of that's very difficult. Even when they start learning how to talk. I remember when I was a missionary of the preborn, a lot of times I lived with the Foreman family. They were a very large family, had many children, and I would sleep sometimes with some of the children, and they had a boy that was just waking up crying in the middle of the night, and I wanted to help relieve the parents, so I was walking with him and trying to figure out what in the world does he want. And he was saying something. I couldn't figure out what in the world he was saying. And finally, you know, after probably about an hour of walking with him and him crying and just muttering something, I realized he wanted his mommy. So I took him to his mommy. He just immediately was quiet. But we see that children are receive care and they receive nurture from their family. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, God says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." And, you know, here God compares his care for us to the care of a woman, a mother, caring for her nursing child. And sometimes mothers don't do what is right. Sometimes they don't have compassion on their child. Sometimes the Bible even talks about times where they were so desperate because they didn't have enough food. They were so desperate that they actually would, that the tender and delicate woman would actually even eat her own offspring. But that's the exception, and that's a rarity for children to not have a mother that cares for them. The norm is for a mother to not only care for her children, but to also defend them, even aggressively defending them. You probably have heard the phrase mama bear. Or, you know, the Bible even talks about a bear robbed of her cubs and the fury that happens. And I know that many mothers, when their children, if you mess with their children, boy, you're messing with them and they're going to come after you. So children do receive care from their mother. In Psalm 103, verse 13, God compares, again, he compares his care for us with the care of a father this time for his children. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. So a father looks on his child and pities that child and wants to care for that child. And so God also cares for us. And really, God has, the Bible actually tells us in the New Testament that God has designed the marriage between a man and a woman to be a picture of God's relationship with his church, God's love for his church. And here we see many, many pictures and symbols in the family of the mother and the father caring for their children, and God showing us that that's the way I care for you. That's the way I care, and I protect you, and I love you. And as a father even pities his children, so I will pity those who fear me. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 17, we read, "They shall be mine, says the Lord, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own children who serves them." So God here talking again about having mercy and having compassion on his children, even as a father would have compassion and would spare his own child. You may even think about the prodigal son. He went off and he wasted his inheritance, and yet he was eating slop from the pigs, and then he came back. He came to himself and said, "You know, my father's servants have more than I have here." And he longed to even be cared for as his father's servants would be cared for. And yet he came back, and what did his father do? He said, "You know, I'm not worthy to be your son. You know, let me just be a servant to you." And his father actually slew the fatted calf and held a feast and said, "My son is back. You're my son." And God is like that with us. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, we read, "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him. And here we see again God saying, listen, as a father cares for his children, you know, a father's not going to give his son a stone when he asks for bread. He's not going to give him a serpent when he asks for a fish. And if you know how, and you're evil, and you know how to care for your children, then I'm going to care for you even as well. So children receive care and nurture. They come out, I mean, it's amazing. They come out not knowing how to do anything. They don't know the slightest, and yet they are cared for and they're protected. They can't do anything for themselves. In a family provides food and shelter as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, we read, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So God wants us to care and to provide for those who are in our own household. He wants us to be diligent to work and to provide for them. And this is something that we need to do and that we need to look toward. This is something, by the way, you know, children don't grow or don't come into this world being able to provide for themselves. I don't think there's ever been a parent that when the child was born, he says, okay, you need to go out and get a job. Okay, you need to start providing for yourself. You know, it's you've been around lying around here crying for too long. You need to get up and get to work. No, children can't do anything when they come out of the womb other than cry and eat and poop that's about all they do at first. And they have to learn. And a family provides training for their children. And in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, we read, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And when we think about that, when I think about that, a lot of times I'm thinking about spiritual training. And certainly, children need to be trained spiritually. They need to be trained how to do what is good, how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to cry out to God, how to depend upon God, how to have faith in God, how to trust in God. Children need to know that there is a God who loves them, that he sent his own son, Jesus, to die on the cross, that even though they need to know that they're sinners, they need to know that they need a Savior, and they need to know that Savior is Jesus Christ, that they can't save themselves, but through the gift, accepting the gift of God through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, they can be saved. Children need to know how to be righteous and how to be holy, and they can learn that in the house. And there's many things that the Bible has to say, and we will actually talk about those in subsequent weeks, about how not only the fathers, but also the mothers and also the grandparents are supposed to train their children in obedience to the Word of God, in obedience to God's standards and God's commandments and God's precepts. And yet, when we think about Solomon did train his children to obey God. He trained them to serve God, to seek wisdom, and to get wisdom and to get understanding. But Solomon trained his children about a lot of other things. In fact, he trained his boys to watch out and to make sure that they were not falling prey to the traps of evil women. And the same can be reversed if he were talking to a daughter. He could very easily be saying, you know, be cautious and don't fall into the traps of evil men, because there are evil men out there as well. And And so Solomon trained his child, his son, in this. He also trained his son not to hang out with and not to hang around with those who were evil and who practice evil and who practice violence. He warned his son not to be a drunkard and not to become intoxicated. And he trained his son in wisdom and in righteousness. And he trained his son to do so many things. And kids, again, they come out of the womb. They know nothing. They can't communicate. All they can do is cry. I remember one time being with a family, and we were going to a church service, and this baby was in the front and was just crying, and his mom was holding the baby, and the baby's just crying and crying and crying. And everyone's trying to figure out, what's wrong with this baby? Why is this baby crying? Well, the parents didn't realize it, but the baby's feet had grown too large for the shoes that the baby was wearing. And when they took the shoes off, the baby stopped crying. Sometimes it's trial and error with kids because they can't even learn, they can't even talk, but they actually learn how to talk in the family. They learn how to use the bathroom on the potty. They learn how to dress themselves. They learn how to care. They learn how to read. They learn how to write. They learn how to communicate. They learn how to actually wash dishes and how to clean the floor and how to do various other things, including mowing the lawn. I remember being a little kid and seeing my dad go mow the lawn, and my parents bought me a toy lawnmower. And when he would go to mow the lawn, I would push that toy lawnmower out there. And one day, when I was probably even 5 or 6 years old, I got to mow the lawn myself. And I'm sure my dad was very happy that I was able to mow the lawn and he didn't have to mow it. But that's a part of, and sometimes when you're training a child, sometimes it's easier and quicker to just do it yourself, because you can do it yourself quicker than you can actually show someone else how to do it. But parents, it's an investment, and parents have that are able to invest in their children and to show them and to train them in obedience, not only in obedience to God's commandments, but just how to do things, how to be diligent, how to work, how to work smart, how to be diligent in your work, how to give it your all, how to work as if you're working unto the Lord at all times, how to apply biblical principles to your life. And this is something that God wants, and God places children in families so that they can learn. By the way, if the parents are doing bad things, then the kid will also learn how to do bad things. I heard just recently about a kid that was growing up in a family that where the father didn't respect women, and the kid was actually smacking women that are around the house on the rear end. So kids can learn even bad things, but we are to train them in the way they should go, not in the way they shouldn't go. And that training comes not only by what we say, but it also comes by what we do. And in fact, what we do speaks much louder than what we say. So if we say one thing, but we're doing another, those kids are going to pick up on that. And it is important that we train children in the way that they should go. Families don't only provide care for children, though. Families also are to provide care for seniors, for the elderly, those who can't care for themselves or may just need a little bit of help to care for themselves. In Psalm 71, we read this passage in our opening passage, as our opening passage today, we read this psalm, verse 9 and also verse 18. We read, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. So here we see the psalmist praying that when he is old, when he is gray-headed, when he may not be able even to care for himself, that God would not forsake him, and that God would help him to declare God's strength to the next generation, to everyone, his power to everyone who is to come. Not only are we to pray that God would not forsake us, but it is important and it is right that, and we need to realize that God requires us to care for our parents. He requires us to care for our grandparents. He requires us to care for those seniors in our family that can't care for themselves. And as the Bible says in 1 Timothy, we read it earlier, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's not just talking about providing for your children and for your spouse. It's also talking about providing for your parents as well, and grandparents, as we will read here later on in some other passages. But in Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 6, we read the words of Jesus. And what had happened was, I believe it was the Pharisees that came to Jesus, and they said, they were constantly trying to capture, you know, trying to trip up Jesus, trying to catch him and get him to trip him up to try to get him to say something that they could pounce on. And they found that his disciples, they were doing something bad. They were actually eating without washing their hands first. And they came to him and they said, "Why are your disciples eating without washing their hands first?" And in verse 3 of chapter 15, it says, he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" So they were concerned about the disciples. And by the way, it's a good thing to wash your hands before you eat, but probably it was a lot easier now than it was back then. You know, they didn't have running water. They couldn't just go to the sink and turn the spigot on. But the Pharisees had the tradition that they had to wash their hands before they ate. And Jesus says that they're actually violating the commandments of God. They're transgressing the commandments of God because of their tradition. Verse 4, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift from God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." So Jesus here shows that what is required of God by the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, and also by he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. What is required of that is that children would actually care for their parents when their parents can no longer care for themselves. And this is something that you see throughout the Bible, and you'll see children caring for their parents. But what the Pharisees were doing is they were saying, "Hey, whatever my obligation is to you, I'm just going to give that to the synagogue, and I'm going to be free from my obligation to you." And that's not the intent that God wants. That's actually transgressing God's commandments. And so God created this family not only to care for children, but also to care for seniors. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, we read, "Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, Let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. So the widows that were really widows were actually taken care of by the church. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a later message. What happens when there is a breakdown of the family? What happens? Because there are many things, you know, there are many situations where there are breakdowns of the family. And we'll talk about some of those. But where there was a woman that didn't have anyone to care for her, then the church would actually step in and care for them. But in this case, it says that if she has children or grandchildren, she wasn't even to be considered a widow. That the children and the grandchildren should actually show piety at home, or the women, the widows should show piety at home. The children should show piety at home. They should repay their parents. Your parents once cared for you and even changed your diapers, which were stinky, by the way. And there may come a time where you actually need to care for your parent in the same way. We need to love and to fulfill God's purpose to care for those in our family, whether it's children, whether it's a spouse, whether it's our parents, or even our grandparents, for this is good and acceptable before God. And so God has given and has designed for children to be raised in families, and also for the family to care not only for the children, but for later on in life, for the children also to care for their parents, and not only their parents, but also their grandparents. And so we have this special gift from God, this structure that provides and that meets the needs of the children, of the parents, of the grandparents as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Prior to Jesus' ministry, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. After He fasted and prayed 40 days and nights, Jesus left His temptation filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter said that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to those He spoke to, their children, and all who were far off. This means that you too can cry out to God to be saved and ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Cry out to Him today.
Holy hands in the